All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, please. Chapter 15. Got David on the front row here. How'd that happen? Huh? You're in the spit zone. Yes, I can spit that far. Yep, don't even have to strain. I've been here 28 years, and it's the first time I've seen you on the front row. And I'm just excited. I don't know what to say. Oh, he said, why do you pick on him? Because he picks on me, that's why. Well, his wife does. Isn't that right? Yeah. Sometimes she sets you up to do it, but yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah, not as innocent as he looks. Yeah, we know. We know. All right, let's begin in verse 21, please. Verse 21. And I want to read a little story here for you. And I'm going to entitle my sermon this morning, Our Position in Prayer. Our Position in Prayer. And so keep that in mind, and I want to begin in verse 21. It says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Notice this. But he answered her, what's the next word? Not a word, exactly. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she, notice that, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, or that's right, Lord, that's the truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. All right? Our position in prayer. All right, let's pray. Ask the Lord to help us and then the message. Let's pray, please. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice in your goodness. Thank you for the word of God. And Father, I pray you'll bless your word now as we go through this little event that happened and one day. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to see the lessons that are here. And I pray that we will have our hearts drawn closer to you as a result of what we hear. And Father, speak to us, we pray. We need to hear from heaven. We need to hear from you. And Father, I pray that you will use your word to touch our hearts and draw each one of us into a closer walk of fellowship. When we leave here in just a little bit, I pray that we'll all have made a decision to want to know you better and know you more. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Have you ever prayed and asked the Lord to do something, or you asked the Lord for something, or maybe you prayed for someone, but anyway, while you were praying, It was like the prayer went to the ceiling and then just came right down back on top of you again. Has that ever happened to you? I'm pretty sure that's happened to a lot of Christians through the years. But you never receive that answer to prayer. You know, it's just like it's just almost like you're not heard. And yet there's all these verses in the Bible that encourage us to pray. We are told, for example, to come boldly before the throne of grace. Come boldly before the throne. And yet we will pray, and it's just almost like we don't get an answer, and then we think, well, what's the use in praying? I'm not getting an answer anyway. Well, something might be a little amiss, don't you think? Because we know that our Savior said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. All right, so we know that the Bible encourages us to pray and to pray often and to pray regularly. But here we are in our Christian lives, and we will think, wow, I need to pray about that. So we'll pray, but it's just like they're idle words. Nothing happens. Nothing stirs. And we wonder what the problem just might be. Well, this passage of Scripture, this little story that happened in the life of our Savior just might hold the answer to what is going on when we pray and we feel like we're not getting through. We feel like God has turned a deaf ear to what we have to say. So let's think about it from this passage of Scripture. I want to show you a woman of great faith. Great faith. And I want to point out to you that the Savior, the Lord Jesus, is going to draw out her faith. She has faith, and the Lord Jesus is going to draw that faith out of her. And I think that we can learn some neat things here as we think about this matter. There's just a couple of things I want you to see. I hope I'm not getting sick. I don't think I am, but I feel fine, but I just got a frog this morning. It's a big frog, too. All right, just a couple of things here from this story. First of all, let's think about the background of the story. All right, the background of the story. If you'll look at your Bible, please, it says in verse 21 that Jesus left where he was in Israel, and he departed Israel and came to the twin cities of Tyre and Sidon. All right, now Tyre and Sidon were not in Israel. Tyre and Sidon were in the southern part of Lebanon, right on the Mediterranean coast, right on the sea. And these two cities were not Jewish cities. This is the only time in our Lord's earthly ministry that he left Israel proper and went outside of his homeland. And when he did, he went to Lebanon, to the twin cities of Tyre and Sidon. Now, there's something that we need to know about the people who lived in Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon were very busy places. There were a lot of people that lived in and around these two cities. It was a seaport. It was a busy seaport. There was a lot of commerce that went on there. There were a lot of people who lived there. And the Jews considered those who lived in the cities of Tyre and Sidon to be heathen people. That's what they would refer to them as, heathen people. Now, why would they call them heathens? Now, if you're from West Virginia, it's heathrens, all right? Heathrens. Yeah. Yeah, we make our own language up down there. Yes, sir. And so they would look at them and think, wow, these people are just a bunch of heathens up here. Why did they think that? Well, because they were influenced by the gods of the Canaanites. They worshiped the gods of the Canaanites. The Canaanites had a strong influence upon the two cities of Tyre and Sidon, and they worshiped the gods that the Canaanites worshiped. And these gods, if you will take the time to read up on it, you'll find out that these gods were the gods that were offshoots of the worship of Baal. And of course, the worship of Baal was nothing more than worshiping the gods of sensuality. They were heathen gods in the eyes of the Jews. And the reason that they considered them that way is because they were heathen gods, false gods that these folks worshiped. So that's the people that lived in Tyre and Sidon. Now, we have another person here that we need to look at in the story, and that is this woman who came and was asking the Lord Jesus to heal her daughter. All right, now we are told of her. Look at verse 22. All right, look down at verse 22. And verse 22 says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast." So here is a woman that Matthew calls a woman of Canaan. Now, you'll remember that there are four Gospels, and three of them are called the Synoptic Gospels. The Synoptic Gospels. Now, what does that mean? Well, synoptic means similar. These were for the funeral yesterday, these flags here, and they are driving me nuts. So can somebody move them for me, please? Just put them where they're supposed to be. I don't know where they're supposed to. They're not ours? Who they belong to? Huh? Okay, thank you. Yeah, just move them, if you will. I'm more focused on looking around them than I am the message I'm trying to get you to see this morning. All right, thank you, Lee. Thank you, David. I appreciate that. Pastor Brian said they're not ours. So, huh? I know we don't have a Maryland flag. They're in the back. Do what? They're in the back. They're in the back? Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's where they're supposed to be. All right. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate that. All right. Let's get back. All right. Let's get back. Everybody focus. All right. Synoptic Gospels. Synoptic means similar. Okay. So you've got Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they are synoptic. They are similar to one another. And in Mark's Gospel, when he tells this story, he says that this woman was a Syrophoenician, a Syrophoenician, a Phoenician woman. And this woman had a daughter who was possessed of a devil. No one could help this child. Nobody could cast out the demon and help this woman's daughter. And so this title that Mark gave to her, this Syrophoenician, probably was given this way to reveal her beliefs. She was not Jewish. She was not a worshiper of the God of Israel, the God of heaven. She was not of that persuasion. Instead, she was a Phoenician. She was from that area where the Canaanites had influenced that whole region up through there and brought their false gods into the picture. So this is probably given as a Syrophoenician woman to help us to understand that this woman was a worshiper of false gods. Now, Mark's gospel tells us that she left her child when she heard that Jesus was in the area. She left her child and came to find the Lord Jesus. Now, knowing her position, knowing that she was a worshiper of false gods, knowing that she was not Jewish, she was not inclined to just walk right up to the Lord Jesus. She did not feel that she had the right to do that. She did not feel comfortable doing that. So she stood off to the side. But she knew, had heard about the Lord. She knew about him. And she thought, I've tried everything else. I've tried everybody else. So if I can just get this man to hear me and to stop, he might be able to heal my daughter. And so that's why she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when she came off at a distance, she cried out for the Lord. And she said, Master, can you heal my daughter? Look at this in verse 22. She cried unto him. And that little word, cried there, all right, you remember I've told you before that in English we have three tenses, past, present, and future. Well, in Koine Greek, in the New Testament Greek, there are 40 tenses to a verb. All right, 40. That's what makes Greek so difficult. That and the fact that it's a dead language. That helps a great deal. All right, and our kids will come home from college and their sophomore year, and I'll one studying for the ministry, and I'll say, "Well, how's Greek going?" And boy, they just, "Oh man, that is so hard." Say, "Yeah, it is. Wait till you get to Greek next year. If you think this year's hard, wait till you get to next year, because you got to apply all 40 of those tenses as you study, read the Greek New Testament. It's a tough language. Let me just put it that way. All right. So they tell me, I don't know, because I took Greek 150 years ago, but they tell me that the word cried is in the tense that means that she cried and she just kept on crying. She would not stop crying. She didn't say one time, thou son of David, have mercy on my daughter. She didn't say it once. She said it over and over and over and over. And that's why it got annoying to the disciples. The disciples looked at the Lord and they said, Lord, send her away. Send her away. Because she just kept asking over and over and over and over. All right? So, what was our Lord's response? Well, look at verse 23 now. In verse 23, he answered her not a word. Now, that's not like our Lord, is it? In other words, he ignored her. She didn't stop. She just kept on. Lord, Master, Son of Man, Son of David, heal my daughter. And he's walking on. She's walking back here. She knows she's not supposed to approach him, especially in public. And so she's walking behind him, but she won't stop. She just keeps going. Master, Lord, Son of David, heal my daughter. And the Lord Jesus just ignores her. All right? Do you see that? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? All right? Now, the Lord answered her not a word. Don't you think she was disappointed? Don't you think that her heart just sank? I mean, she had confidence that if she could just get to this prophet, that he would be able to help her daughter. And look at it. You got to notice this. She's saying all the right things, isn't she? Look at your Bible. Look at what she says in verse 22. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. I mean, those are the right words. And she doesn't say it just one time and just let him walk on. Oh, no. He's walking on. She's following, and she just keeps on. Son of David, son of David, son of David. Lord, 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 help. She's saying all the right words. But he doesn't answer her anything. Well, I don't know what kind of stir it created. I don't know what everybody else had to say about it. But I know that the disciples stepped in. So now we've had the people of Tyre and Sidon. We've had the woman of Canaan. We've had our Lord's response. And now the disciples step in. All right, now the disciples, look at your Bible. Look at your Bible in verse 23. It says, he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. So the disciples said, send her away, Lord. Send her away. This woman's not going to stop. It's obvious she's not going to quit. So send her away. Now, you might misunderstand this request. Okay? The disciples were saying basically this. They were saying, Lord, give her what she wants so she'll go away. That's basically what they're saying. I mean, after all, it was nothing for him to just say a word or just think a thought and heal somebody or perform some kind of a mighty miracle. It's not a problem. And the disciples certainly had seen him do that over and over and over again. And so they're saying, Lord, just give her what she wants. We know you can heal that girl. Just heal that girl so she'll go away. She is just absolutely driving everybody crazy around here. She won't stop. All right? So now look carefully at it. Look carefully at it. Send her away, for she crieth after us. Now, folks, question, why was the Lord Jesus being so cold? Why was he being so cold? Our Lord has a lesson here that I think he is trying to teach his disciples and also this woman. He is going to use this woman and draw the faith that she has, even though it's little. But don't forget, Jesus said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, and that is just a little seed you could put in your hand and have a hard time finding. Just one seed. They're tiny. They're little. And so she is crying after the Lord, and the Lord is about to teach a wonderful lesson. Now, here it is. To the disciples, he speaks as the King of the Jews, the Son of David, not as the Son of Man. But to this woman, he is merely drawing out what little faith was in her. He is drawing that faith out. Now, let me show you how he did this. That leads me to my second thought. All right, we looked first of all at the background of the story, but now, secondly, let's look at the blessings of faith. What does faith give us? All right, Jesus said in verse 24, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Lost sheep of the house of Israel. And to this, notice what happened. Verse 25, then came she. All right, now let's see if we can get, let's visualize a picture here, all right? She's back here. She cannot approach unless she's beckoned. She cannot approach. She's back here. She knows her place. She's not about to do anything rash. But she is standing back here calling out, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Oh, those are the right words. Lord Jesus, thou Son of David. She's recognizing his person. She's recognizing who he is. Oh, listen, she's getting close, isn't she? And he's walking on. She's following. The disciples say, Lord, send her away. The Lord Jesus stops, turns around, looks at her. When he looks at her, the disciples said, Lord, send her away. You've healed many others. You can heal that girl without even doing a thing. Just think about it. She'll be healed. And when she turns around, Jesus then says, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, he was saying, I did not come for the Canaanites. I came to the Jews. And so the woman then, she says, she hears what he's saying. She's not so far away, she can't hear what he's saying. Somehow in her heart, that faith is now increasing. Somehow in her heart, that faith is growing, and she now has the confidence because he stopped, turned around, and looked at her, and she now feels comfortable that she can approach. And so I can see her in my mind's eye. I can see her running to him and falling at his feet. I can see the Lord Jesus looking down and having mercy upon her. And look at what verse 25 says. Then came she and what? Worshipped him. You see, folks, she's way over here. She's praying. All right, don't miss this. She's praying, Lord, heal my daughter. Thou Son of David, heal my daughter. The Lord Jesus appears calloused. He appears like he doesn't care The disciples speak, oh, it's now time to teach a lesson. So he turns, makes eye contact. She comes running after he says, I did not come for these Canaanites. I came for the house of Israel. But she comes running and she fell at his feet and she worshiped him. In other words, folks, she was far away when this whole thing started. But it did not take long for the Lord to draw that faith out of her, and she comes running and falls at his feet and worships him. And that's when the Lord Jesus healed her daughter. That's when she got her answer. You understand that? Do you see that? I'm telling you, folks, the Lord wants us close to him. You know, we can't go out of here on a Sunday and then go the whole week without opening our Bibles. You know, we come in, we put the Bible down where we can grab it next Sunday when we head out the door to go to church. And so, you know, where's my Bible? It's under those papers. And so you move the newspapers and the magazines and blow the dust off of it, and on you go. And we can't live the Christian life that way and expect our God to hear and answer when we pray. That's why it goes up, hits the ceiling, comes back down, and knocks you in the back of the head. Amen. Or oh me, say something. You know? Right? You see, the Lord wants us close to him. I have said to you many, many times through the years that if we only knew how much the Lord wants our fellowship, we would never go another day without reading his word. If we just knew how much the Lord wants to fellowship with us. You say he wants to fellowship with me? Yes. Yes. And that's why he is encouraging us to pray. That's why all through the Bible we are encouraged to pray. God wants to answer our prayers. The Lord wants to have us close to him. And she started out over here, and the Lord Jesus is just drawing out that faith. And finally, she realizes, wow, he looked at me. I guess I can approach him. And her desire to have that closeness to the Lord overwhelmed her, and she came and fell at his feet and worshiped him. Boy, she's right where she can. She's right at the spout where the glory comes out. You know what I mean? So what can we learn from this? Well, here's what we learn, folks. Our position as we're praying is vitally important. You know? Vitally important. I mean, let me ask you a question. Look at your Bible, please. Look again at verse 22. Look at verse 22. And behold, a woman of Cana came out the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Now, question. Do you think she had faith in verse 22? I do. I think she had faith. Now, I don't know how strong it was, but I do believe that she had faith in verse 22. All right, read on. Read on. Did she have, but where is she positionally? She's over here. Where's he? He's over here. She's crying out. Matthew did not say, and she said. No, she's crying out. there's some distance between them. But she had faith over here. And so the Lord Jesus is over here thinking, this woman has faith. Of course, he knows he's God. And so he's drawing that faith out of her. And she comes running and falls at his feet. Now he knows she's serious. Now he knows that she is trusting him to answer her prayers. Folks, that's the way the Lord wants each and every one of us to live the Christian life. We can't just go home, throw our Bible down, and live like we want the rest of the week, and then grab our Bible on Sunday morning and come in and say, well, you know, the Lord just never answers my prayer. Won't you get close to him? And once you get close to him, stay there. Just stay there. You see, folks, faith and nearness to God are needed when it comes to the matter of prayer. Just get close to him. Just get close to him. We're praying. I mean, you know, we're praying to the right person, you know. We're praying to the right person. We're praying for the right thing. I mean, we have faith. We have faith. I mean, we've been saved for years. We know that God answers prayer. We have seen the Lord do miraculous things in the last 28 years. And before that, we have seen God do some wonderful things. I mean, you know, we're sincere, but still no answer. Might the problem be that we are not yet bowed at the feet of our wonderful Savior? We are not asking at Jesus' feet, but we're back here somewhere shouting at a distance, Lord, could you answer this prayer? Won't you just get over there, bow down at his feet, worship him, and love him, and get close to him, and fellowship with him, and then ask your prayers? I think it'll make a world of difference. I think it'll make a world of difference. Now, let me illustrate this point, and then I'll close. Many of you have asked this morning how Joshua's doing, and he is doing better. Yeah, it's going to be a process, a slow process for him to heal up. But he is doing better, and I appreciate your continued prayers for him as he recovers. But let me illustrate using him since he's not here. When I use him and he's here, he doesn't speak to me for about a week. Because I normally let him have it. But let me illustrate. I had this little game, and I've played that game with my kids. I also have played that game with my grandkids. But let's go all the way back to when Joshua was just a little guy. And I guess it's in their DNA that my kids all love chocolate candy. Hold your hand up. There she is. Guilty. Guilty. And so there is always chocolate in our house. Always. Sometimes you can open a cabinet and it'll fall out. Sometimes you can open a drawer and there's Hershey Kisses. You know, it's just, it's amazing how it turns up. And so you can be assured your children know that there's candy in the house. And so Josh would come up to me, just a little tiny thing, and he'd say, "Daddy, can I have some candy?" And I would look at him and I would say, "Now, why do you want candy?" And he would say, "Well, Daddy, I love candy." I say, "You do?" And he'd say, "Yep." And I say, well, Josh, why don't you give me some good reasons why I should let you have some candy?" And I would kind of smile at him, and then he would catch on real quick. And he would look at me and he would say, "Well, I think you should give me candy because you're the best dad in the world." I would nod my head and I say, "Yep, you're doing good. Give me another reason why I'll let you have some candy." And he would smile and he would say, "Because you're the goodest dad in the whole world." I say, "Yeah, that sounds right to me too. What else you got, Josh?" "Well," and he'd jump up in my lap and he'd squeeze my arm and he'd say, "You're the strongest daddy in the world." Oh, we had a little routine. We did. And I would hold him and squeeze him and love on him. And then I would look at him and I would say, "You know, if you'll just sit here for a few minutes and just wrap your arms around my neck and love on me and me love on you for a little bit, I'll just get you all the candy you want." That's all it took. And he knew it. And the grandkids know it. Oh yeah, they know it too. You see, all I want is just a little closeness. That's all I want. You know, I just want that close relationship where I've got my arms around one of them and they've got their arms around me. And there is a tender moment. There is a sweet time of fellowship. That's all I want. And folks, by the way, that's all the Lord Jesus wants with each and every one of us. You see, our position has to be right. I mean, we don't stand over here a half a mile away, "Lord, can you do this for me?" No. Let's just get right up close at his feet and loving and worshiping him. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this story that we just read, that we just thought of. And I pray you'll bless this to our hearts. Give us understanding of what we just heard. And Father, you just want us close. There is a desire that you draw us close to yourself, just like you drew this woman's faith out of her. You draw our faith out of us and get us close. So Father, help us to realize that our position is very vital in this matter of prayer. And I pray your word will touch our hearts and speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name.